Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
Big Ten Conference presidents meeting today to perhaps determine the fate of college football when it comes to that conference. And joining us right now, a man who played in that conference for Purdue, former New England Patriot Matt Light, is on the Harbor One hotline. And we spoke yesterday, and he was rather disgruntled about college football in general and its fate. And so Matty is on the show this morning. Hey, Matty, how are you?
Well, good morning, sir.
What's happening?
Oh, just another beautiful day here in sunny Foxborough, living the life.
What is your, when it comes to college football, where do you stand this morning? I mean, yesterday I know you were worried about it. It seems like maybe the tide is turning a little bit.
Well, it seems as though there is this kind of crazy effort in the world to shut things down. So I'm kind of leaning towards a lot of people that are in the positions of power not doing the right thing and, you know, canceling a season and creating a whole lot of fear. That's where I'm at right now. Now, I'm hoping that doesn't go that way, but we've seen a number of conferences make that decision. And, you know, unfortunately, that is the talk right now.
Wiggy says that, and this echoes what a lot of players are saying, that he thinks that those athletes are actually safer at college playing football, participating in that program, than they would be at home.
Well, I think Nick Saban said that recently, right, in an interview, that, you know, players are safer at, you know, Alabama than they would be, you know, at home in some cases. I could see where that point could be made. I mean, when you're part of an organization, there's protocols, there's things that, you know, people keep an eye on that maybe would be overlooked or just not done to the detail that they do it in some of these bigger organizations. And I think that for the most part, even if a coach has a feeling of, you know, this isn't that big of a deal, they don't ever let that, you know, get in the way of, you know, their program and the guys that, you know, they're in charge of. And so they are taking this very serious. So I would tend to agree with that statement.
Now, Matt, I think the one thing, you're a former college athlete, and you know that there are going to be upperclassmen in there, or if you were an upperclassman telling these guys, hey, listen, we're trying to play football, we got our goal at the end of the week and playing in games on Saturdays, and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to play in some type of championship. So I think by being on campus, there's going to be that accountability for some of these younger players to not do some of the things that could potentially put the rest of the team at risk.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that, you know, for anybody that doesn't look at this situation that we're in right now and realize, you know, that one mistake will ruin it for everyone. I mean, they're blind, right? So, yeah, I agree with that. I think that, you know, some of the upperclassmen will hold, you know, the rest of their crew accountable because, you know, they want to play football. I mean, how many kids have been sitting around, whether they're at the college or high school level or even elementary for that matter, that are just tired of doing nothing, right? I mean, I don't know that there's been a time in the world's history that kids are looking forward to going back to school and playing sports and doing things more than they are now.
You also have some seniors who theoretically, if there were no season, may not end up with the opportunity to advance and play in the NFL. I mean,
it's going to be difficult for that. What, Matt, when you look at your situation, you were a guy that was drafted. If you were in this position, and a lot of people, and this is why I think spring football would be watered down, there'd be a lot of players who just would decide not to play and focus on combines, pro days, and getting ready for the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's the difficult thing about now, right? It's not just the idea of do I play, do I not play, or is it safe, is it unsafe? You know, these athletes and everybody in general has been affected for quite some time now, right? I mean, it's amazing that, you know, we're looking at, you know, 6, 7, 8 months of what's been, you know, just the uncertain and the unknown. But that's the same for all these guys. They missed their spring practice. They've missed so much of what it takes to be a college athlete, or for that matter, a professional athlete or any athlete, that it's going to be tough for them to make that up. As a matter of fact, they can't make it up. And I think that's one of the things that resonated with me yesterday, Greg, was when, you know, you talk about, hey, this isn't time that we're getting back. I mean, you know, whether you're on the older, you know, scale in life,
like,
or
me,
you're a college football player,
like,
you know,
me.
And not that you're on the older scale, Greg.
I'm on life's back nine. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'm MS.
Yeah, but these kids aren't getting it back, though, right? I mean, they're not getting these opportunities. And, you know, I think that, you know, for a situation like we're in now, we have enough knowledge to know that, you know, people can make good decisions. When we keep taking the decision-making process out of the hands of the people and we put it into the control of the very few, the elite, you know, the politicians or whoever it may be, aren't we losing the heart and soul of this country when we say that we're not able to make sound decisions? We need others to make it for us. And at the end of the day, that's kind of what has me the most disappointed in where we are now.
You're upsetting Ken. You are upsetting Ken right now, Matt.
Well, what's wrong with the spring plan?
Well,
what's the rush? We should
get upset.
Why not push it to spring, Matt? It makes all the sense in the world. You'll get fans in the spring. The kids won't lose anything. It's perfect.
Well, because the virus just disappears in the spring, right? Or they magically come up with a cure in the spring, right, Ken? I mean,
well, it's not magic. It's
deal,
science.
Right?
It's a vaccine.
Yeah, and that science has worked really well for things like the flu and, you know, other viruses that are, you know, contracted by, you know, just touching things and being alive and being human.
Well, I mean, Joe Burrow tweeted yesterday that if this happened to him, he might not have a job. And I guess there are some who are probably going to say, well, what's the issue with waiting a year? But I mean, isn't that a legitimate concern, is that you wait a year, you don't make it to the NFL?
Well, yeah, that's Joe Burrow was a projected fifth round pick before the season started. So now does he make the decision of playing? And you know, Matt knows this. He has to now weigh his options. Do I play in the spring? Because the NFL is not changing their plan. They're not going to move the draft, and you know, they're going to change the combine. They're still going to kind of go off on their scheduled as planned. And now Burrow and guys have to make decisions. Is it worth me playing, or do I just try to get ready and see if I can get to the next level?
Yeah, and that you know, look, the disruptive nature. I mean, football players especially are creatures of habit. I mean, you know, coaches are, you know, drilling things into you during the season, during the off season. I mean, every day has a purpose as you, you know, relate to, you know, the sport and your job and your role. And when things get as mixed up as they have been, it's really hard for guys to bounce back from that. I mean, you know, look, if we were able to watch football right now, it would look very odd. It would take a while for these guys to get their mindset right, to get into shape and all these things. they've had a lot of time, but it's not like they've been using that time to become better football players. So we've already have a system that's compromised. And if we keep pushing this thing back, it doesn't get better.
Just curious, Matt, do you wear a mask? I have this fear, this vision of you rambling through stores maskless all over New England.
Yeah, no, listen, I want people to see this beautiful face, man. I can't cover it up. It's not going to happen. Here's the thing, right? I respect anybody's decision to wear a mask or not wear a mask. You know, the science is real clear on masks, right? There's no need to interpret it whether it helps save lives or not. It doesn't. It has no real effect. It makes you feel comfy and warm inside, maybe, but it doesn't do anything, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So I try to remove things in my life that are useless, right? You know, I don't need to focus on things that don't move the needle. And, you know, especially when you have a situation like here in Massachusetts, right? So I spend a summer in Ohio. There's a whole lot of free thinking, you know, creative people that don't drink the Kool-Aid and live life at its fullest. And then there's the other side in some of the bigger cities and on the coast where, you know, you need your governor to tell you that if you're in your backyard with your family plus the neighbor, that you're going to have to wear a mask or you're going to get fined. Again, I think we're better than that. I think this country was founded on principles that don't just say, hey, when somebody tells you to do something, even if you look around and know that there's not a fire, don't believe them when they say there's smoke, right? I mean, come on. We're better than this.
We should be, Matt, but we're not. And the thing that frustrates me more than anything is there's no, like, method to the madness. All I remember is flatten the curve. So we flatten the curve, and then what does the governor of Massachusetts do? He pulls back on stuff. So, and they don't have any explanation for it. And it's the same way with college football. Greg brought up this point the other day. Last week they were saying, all right, here's all conference-only games, Big Ten. This is what we're going to do. And now they're shutting it down. What changes in a week that they make this decision to shut it down rather than they're just scared of the optics and what people are going to say?
Yeah, and it is. It's fear, right? I mean, I keep wrestling with this. Like, what can I do? Like, you know, how can I, you know, make a difference in such a crazy time? But when you're battling fear, it's really hard because people do have real concerns. I mean, you know, if you speak anything to the opposite of what is, you know, being pumped into, you know, our lives by the media and politicians, if you say anything to the contrary, then people say, well, you don't, you know, value others' lives. You don't take this serious. No, I do take it serious. I understand that there is a bug out there. There's a virus and it is causing harm to certain people, no doubt. But it does not warrant what we're looking at right now. The data clearly points to that. And so when they keep saying something different, then there's some other reason. I don't care to really know what that reason is. I'm just saying, you know, we're pretty strong-willed people here in the U.S. We need to start acting like it. You know, we need to start asking questions, demanding, you know, that our politicians and everybody around us, whether it's our boss or anyone else, can clearly articulate why it's important to be doing what they say we need to do. I mean, that's not a crime to do that. And not everyone can do that. I realize that. But if you are in a position where you can speak up, let your voice be heard. You know, if you're in a position of leadership within your company, don't continue to spread the fear. Stand up and say what's on your mind. And I think that if more people do that, we'll get through this a lot easier and a lot better than what we currently are facing in this country.
But that, I got to tell you, when you say what you said about masks, you ought to see the text messages. People are infuriated with you. This texter wants a wellness check on Ken. They're worried that Ken is passed out in the other room right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, that person is cruising around right now in their Kia Sedona with a mask on by themselves. And, you know, people like me are passing them going, why? What are you saving? Your dash? Like your steering wheel? Like who's being affected in your van all by yourself? I mean, it's crazy, right? Like we're looking at crazy times. And the only way to get through crazy times is to communicate and hopefully change the fear into knowledge. And then, normalcy. I mean, we need to go from knowledge to normalcy and not the other way around.
But then you have, like, this person says, congratulations, Matt Light has finally pushed me to the point where I can't listen anymore. Oh. Because I guess they disagree with your POV, and so they don't want to hear it, I guess.
Yeah, well, and again, I mean, look, I mean, everybody's different, right? I tend to be more on the independent side than most. Again, if you want to protect yourself, you know, and you really, really feel strongly about this thing being bad, don't leave your house. I mean, the government's given you a lot of reasons not to go to work, and, you know, they're offsetting, you know, with trillions and trillions of dollars. But for the rest of us that want to wake up every day and live life, because maybe we don't have very many years left, Greg. I mean, but, you know, at the end of the day, for those of us that want to wake up and work and go after it, let's go get it. And I just don't feel like this is the time to sit here and say, I'm not living my life. I've turned that corner. I'm living my life. I'm going after it. And thank God there are places, you know, that are open and are, you know, functioning at a high level, but there's not a whole lot. And right. That's going to have a drastic effect on the rest of this country. I have a bad feeling that it's going to take a long time to recover, you know, from what we've already been through, let alone what they're trying to drag us through down the road here.
But the problem is, Matt, is the other side, when you disagree with them, they don't even want to have a conversation. They'll instantly turn to, like, people like Ken and Dale that are on the show.
Dale threw his radio out the window when he heard Matt talking earlier.
They'll instantly turn to, like you said, Matt, is, oh, you don't care about the 160,000+ people that have lost their lives. But they only have this energy for certain things. I don't hear them, you know, shouting at the rooftops when there's shootings in school and kids. I don't hear them wanting to shut schools down. So, to me, it's fraudulent. And I think that's what we're living in these times, is you see all the frauds are starting to show their true colors.
Yeah, and you know, Wiggy, I don't like being lied to either. I mean, here's what I do know. I believe, you know, the people like my brother who runs an ER in Columbus. I believe, you know, the countless other doctors and nurses that I talk to and their viewpoint on what they're seeing in real time. I don't believe what the news tells me. I know for a fact that the numbers aren't real. That, you know, every time they say there's a new case, which, again, like, please, if you're listening to this and you have a difference of opinion, please ask yourself why in the world anyone on earth should care how many people contract COVID. It's the number they're using to scare everybody into their homes and putting masks on in their backyard. But the question should be, why in the world should I care? I don't care, and no one should. The better question is, are people dying? You know, is this thing, you know, mutating into something that we can't treat? Because they can treat it. You know, now, does it work for everyone? Of course not. But we're not living in a world where something has to work for everyone. There is no magic pill for anything on earth. So, again, you know, I just think you got to ask the right questions. You got to look at this. And at the end of the day, like I said, you know, to start this little rant off here, it's not real. I don't like being lied to. And I think that that's at the heart of, you know, this country. We don't like being lied to. We don't like being forced into submission. And it's time that we get back to acting like real Americans.
Preach.
America.
Wow. I have a very important question to ask that is going to sound very stupid after your rant there, but I agree with you. But my question is, Matt Light, in the prime of your career, you have one season.
Is this going to be a Brady versus?
Stop. Just let me get it out. Let me get it out. Matt, you have one season. You have to pick one person on that team. You can either have Tom Brady as your quarterback or Bill Belichick as your coach. Which do you choose?
Oh, man. I'll take them both.
Oh,
but,
no. If you had to pick one, which would you pick for just one season? One season for glory.
I think you got to go with Bill, and I answer that one, you know, and I'll give you an answer. I think you got to go with Bill, and here's why, right? It took me a while, even in retirement, to look back and really appreciate the job that a coaching staff has to do. I mean, I appreciated my coaches. There's a few of them that would tell you that I didn't potentially, but for the most part, I did. And, you know, the job that these guys do and being in retirement and being in the real world and trying to organize and motivate and keep people on track, you know, it's not easy. And when I think back on the job that Bill did and the consistent, you know, approach that he took to each and every day, it really is amazing. I mean, people that have been around him write books around it, about it. You watch, you know, the moves that he makes, and you're scratching your head going, that makes no sense. And then they win a championship, and it's pretty mind-boggling. And the fact that, you know, I did play a season without Tommy, and it wasn't a great season, but it was a good season. And so, you know, no disrespect to my man, number 12, but, you know, Bill, you know, in Bill we trust, right? I mean, God love him.
We'd be on different teams because I'm going with Tom.
Wiggy's going with Tom. All
right. Oh, no. Hey, listen, man, and I'll tell you, I don't think there's a guy, and this is just my personal opinion, not that I've talked to the guy because, you know, he's pretty busy trying to win games and he's on to Cincinnati, but, you know, I don't believe that a guy like Bill Belichick, given the work that he puts into every single day in preparation, really wants to play a season like this one. And that's my personal belief. I mean, I just don't think it's possible. You know, there's no certainty. Here's a guy that, you know, plans and prepares and knows all the variables and understands how to play within the rules and, you know, push things to the nth degree. But all that's out the window right now. There's zero certainty. There's zero understanding that the work that he's putting in right now will pay off in November, because November, there may not be any football. There may not be football in October. So it's real hard for a guy like Bill Belichick, I think, to be able to prepare and get excited to put in the effort for a season like this.
I've heard some say that they think that Bill probably does not want to play this season because it's unlike the normal season, and that he probably wishes there were no football this year.
Well, I mean, can't you see that though, right? Like, you're the best. You're the best at what you do. You want to play the best. You want people to push you. You want people to, you know, challenge you and what you've done, and you're looking at this as a challenge? Come on. This isn't a challenge. This is a nightmare. This is like the worst possible scenario for a coach like Bill Belichick. So, again, not as if, you know, he's told me, hey, I don't want to play the game, but I'm going to tell you right now, it'd be hard for me to see him fired up to go into a season like this one.
Yeah, without a quarterback.
Hey, but by the way, honestly, I think he's licking his chops. If it was normal, you know, if it was a normal time and it was a season and he's got the ability to go out there and, you know, try new things and expand. I mean, look, the guy has a thirst for knowledge. He keeps track and takes notes of every second of every day. He references all those things. I mean, somebody that driven looks at something like losing the best quarterback of all time and says, game on, let's go. I mean, trust me, he's not afraid of that.
Hold my beer, as the saying goes.
Yeah. Hold my beer. There we go.
All right. Well, listen, I'm glad you called.
But before we let Matt go,
yes.
Mrs. Light would just like to clarify something as it pertains to Matt's I don't wear masks statement.
Yes.
She said she wants to clarify that Matt does not go into stores.
Oh, okay.
Mrs. Light does do 99.9% of all, you know, domesticated life.
Yes.
Yes.
That's also the recovery rate for COVID. Isn't
all right. All right. Matthew, great to talk to you. We'll talk soon, all right?
You too, guys. Stay right. Strong.
Yeah. Wow. I'll tell you what. Interesting dichotomy when it comes to the text line.
Yes, very much. Well, text line in a nutshell.
Some people are enraged by his comments.
He don't believe it. He talks to the people like his brother, who's a ER doctor, he said. And
yeah.
You know?
I mean, what is the issue, though, when somebody like Matt says that, where people are instantly texting in and saying, this is it. I'm not going to listen. I'm done with your station. I'm done with your show.
Because he doesn't believe the death totals.
He said, I don't believe the media and some of the numbers that they put out. I believe there's a coronavirus, right? But I don't believe in some of the numbers they put out. Just now, this is the media, CNN. Do you believe this from less than 24 hours ago? More than 97,000 children have tested positive for coronavirus in the last 2 weeks of July. Reports say. Do you believe that?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's probably been vetted. I mean, they're a news organization.
You said something on CNN was vetted?
Do you 97,000 children in the last 2 weeks?
In just the last 2 weeks.
Isn't it ironic?
As we get ready for school to open up.
Right.
By the way, I'm going to send that response about the mask to Mike Florio, and I think he's going to spontaneously combust.
Mm-hmm. And in that article, what do you think they talked about? The Georgia high school that made headlines of the crowded hallway. You remember that?
Yes.
So I think what Matt is saying is that he believes there's a coronavirus, and yes, it affects people differently, and mm-hmm. he thinks that it affects, you know, a certain group of people more than others. But do you believe all the numbers that the media puts out there, or do you listen to the doctors that he ultimately says he has firsthand knowledge, whether it's his brother or some other people?
Here's a text from a physician. Matt Light was disgraceful, reckless, irresponsible, and ignorant.
But how do you really feel?
Oh, that's good.
I love him.
I mean, his opinion differs from yours, but he's still allowed to have it.
But you notice that any time you go the other way, you're irresponsible, you're reckless, you don't care about life. But when they go that way and their opinion's different, like Dale, we don't ever criticize Dale to the point where we're like, what you're saying is reckless when he goes, look at the spikes in Florida. We don't.
Yeah, no, I mean, I value the opinion of everybody, but mine may differ from yours. But I like hearing differing opinions. That's what I like.
We actually tried to call that angry texter, but we got their voicemail. Here's how it sounded.
Dale here.
All right. Anyway, that was Matt Light. We are
got a lot of people enraged.
Matt has a lot of. Look at the text line. Oof. I mean, these people
are shaking in their cars while wearing masks.
People are very upset.
I can see the headline though from like the Globe. Matt Light says coronavirus is fake.
And honest to God, I can't stand people who are like, that's really reckless. That's really irresponsible. Like, what? So now we should silence everybody?
Well, what he's saying is don't necessarily just listen to what the government or somebody says and take it as, you know, this is the only option.
But I bet you that guy spends his nights watching CNN where he's got Cuomo, the buff moron, who tells everybody and lectures them about wearing masks and then goes on the Hamptons bike riding while he has COVID without a mask on.
Just don't call him Fredo.
Can we please? Yeah, no, definitely not. If Greg gets back on the Peloton at some point, can we please refer to him as the buff moron?
I'm back on the Peloton.
You are?
Oh, yeah. I'm all over it.
How long have you been back on it?
I did a 30-minute 90s ride with my man Cody yesterday.
Oh, God.
It was fantastic.
Well, think about how
that
you...
dog years 30 minutes? Or...
Think about this, how you were canceled.
I wore my mask, too.
Think about how you were canceled for 1 week with your whole situation and the coronavirus and pasta and Kasha.
Oh, yeah. Wait, you got an extra day. Pull your head out of his ass.
What I mean, I got an extra day. No, but I'm saying, you can't say...
I
can't give a guy a compliment.
Yeah, oh, I mean, but I did that.
It's done. You don't have to do it anymore.
That was I want another extra day, Danielle.
But that was
I still need two more extra days.
I did that to make my coworkers. There were some coworkers who were concerned, so I did that to make them feel more comfortable.
That's why you did it.
What's wrong?
I can't even get my point across now. She completely derailed my whole opinion. But no, you were canceled in the sense that you were thrown.
I had to work from home.
You had to work from home, and you were thrown in the center of the whole
controversy.
Pasta. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I have a new nickname, thanks to the text line, for our last guest, Matt Wright.
Oh.
Matt Wright.
Matt Wright.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I guess if the Bruins end up being unable to win this playoff series, it's going to be my fault.
It will be your fault.
Right? I gave Kasha the COVID, but I don't even have it. All right, we got to get to Ken and what is trending, and then we'll talk to Lou Merlone about baseball.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
And then after Lou, Kurt Schilling and Tucker Carlson will join us at 9 a.m. this morning.
We might play Travis, my man.
I know Clay at 9:30.
CT!
The Subaru of New England A Lot to Love event is going on now. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. All right, Bruins tonight, 8 p.m., game one, Carolina Hurricanes. The big man, Zdeno, talked yesterday.
I got it. Before you get to that, I just want to. I got an issue with Lou. I told you. He's on my S list because he said the Bruins are going to be bounced round one, that they're not going to win this series. So we'll talk to him about that also. But
which I agree with him.
Yeah.
It is one of the more debated series out there. Carolina looked very good in their sweep of the Rangers. And the Bruins, obviously, as you guys have discussed, did not look great in their games. Marchand called them preseason games. Here's Zdeno talking about the improvement of play that he has seen.
Making some progress, positive progress going forward with our game. I thought that we didn't get the results we wanted in especially the last two games, but I thought we were improving our game. The energy is very important for our team to be positive and having good upbeat practices with a lot of good skating drills, that's how it was today. We know what we're facing right now. Everything that happened till this point, it's behind us, and we're just looking kind of forward.
It's not like they got blown out by the Capitals. A 2-1 game, Hillman, they looked all right. I mean, I think they're ready. They're focused.
A moral victory.
I believe that they will advance when it comes to this series. I have every confidence in the world in this team.
And Chara, I'm a little worried about his play, I'll admit.
Yeah.
But at 43... just appreciate what this guy is. He's 43 years old. He's going to play 25 minutes tonight in a series.
Which is absolutely laughable that he'll play 25. Well, he should be playing. Listen, give him all the PK minutes he wants, right? And keep him at about 13 minutes.
It's more impressive than what Brady did in his career. To play 43 hockey
right.
at this
Well, should they win the cup, we'll determine whether it's Cassidy or Chara. Curtis will be on that.
Well, we clearly know it's not Chara because it was Tim Thomas when they won the cup. Mm-hmm. Well, it had nothing to do with Chara.
They need a goalie to stay on their head.
Four series open up today. Columbus, Tampa at 3, and then Calgary, Dallas at 5:30. Red Sox tonight, 7:30. 6:30 pregame on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEI Red Sox Radio Network. Probably need Martin Perez to go deep tonight. Ranicki kept out Jeffrey Springs for 51 effing pitches, including single, two RBI double from Kiermaier in the seventh, and that lost it. So Red Sox blew a 4-1 lead. 4 hours and 24 minutes, that one last night. Oh. Patriots added running back Lamar Miller, formerly the Dolphins and Texans. Wiggy does not like the signing. One-year deal.
Is that what it is?
Low risk. You said he's washed up.
Well, but you got a stable of running backs, right? You got Tony Michel, you got Damian Williams? Is it Williams or Harris?
Harris.
Damian Harris, right? You got James White. You got Rex Burkhead. You're just
Newton.
Antoine Smith.
I look at the Lamar Miller signing like the Eric Decker signing from a couple of years ago. If the guy can play, great. If not, they'll cut him by the end of training camp.
Also brought back a backup center, Tyler Gauthier. Everybody is the pronunciation. He was on the practice squad last year, backup for David Andrews, Celtics Grizz, 5 p.m., the last two regular season games for the Celtics. They're locked into the 3 seed, and we'll find out about the Big Ten, as you guys were discussing with Matt Light. 10:30, the presidents meet today and may have an announcement to postpone or at least push back the Big Ten football season. It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Well, time to check in with Lou Merlone and talk a little baseball, which should make some of the texters happy. Lou, we just had Matt Light on, and he got everybody all worked up over here.
He did, huh? By the way, hey, it's Lou.
Hey,
it's
Lou.
Hey,
no
it's
host.
Lou. So what's Light talking about? He's talking about guns and stuff again?
Well, he's... He's talking about not wearing a mask.
Yeah, no, no. He said nobody's
he said
nobody's
fake.
Died of COVID. That's what he said.
No, he did not.
He
say
said
that.
We're being lied to, and that's what he said. To go back,
he just was questioning the numbers. And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. people get very upset about that.
Very upset.
How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing good. I was went to bed last night right after the game around 2:30. Nice quick ball game. We actually had we do this Talking Baseball show on NBC. We did that between at 11. It's usually after the game. We did it between like the 6th and 8th inning. Now, it was awful. What a long game last night. I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there.
What can they do anything to speed the game up?
No. Well, they could do a pitch clock, but they decided not to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, until they do that, I think that's the biggest play. I just don't understand why you don't take a look at it. Like, do that first and then see what else you can do. No, that's the first play. It's just for some reason they decided not to. I don't understand it.
Well, I mean, it seemed like they had turned the corner. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had won 3 out of the last 4 going into last night. But then you end up with an effort like last night, and you worry about where they're going to end up here.
Yeah, I just think it's smoke and mirrors, you know, like win 3 out of 4. Ooh, the pitching this time looked pretty good. It's like, yeah, and then what do you think it's going to look like next time?
Mm-hmm.
The reality is they're not good. Like even Eovaldi, who's been pitching very good for them, you know, he's never been consistent. They're just not good. The other day, what was it, just a week ago when Renicki said we don't have anybody better than Ryan Weber? They got rid of him.
Right.
So what does that tell you? So, I mean, and that's, listen, they are settling in. There are some guys in this bullpen settling in, Osich and Bryce, and you could see how they can be used and how they can be effective, and it was going to take a little bit of time to see this, and maybe Martin Perez can go out there and give you 5 or 6 every single night. But the reality is like the only chance they had is because it's 60 games. Because if with this type of staff and 162, everyone in the bullpen would have Tommy John by the time the season was over. Like, they were already getting burnt out here, you know, whatever, how many games into it, because they have to go to this bullpen with openers all the time. And I mean all the time, not just for like once a week.
Well, last night, Lou, the Jeffrey Springs 51 pitches. I mean, yeah. what's going on?
Oh, that's the point. The point is that, you know, because Ryan Weber's going 2 and you've only got 2 starters that can give you 5. And by the way, that's all they're giving you. It's not like they're giving you 7 and giving the bullpen a day off. They're giving you 5 and you still got to work it. The other 3 are all relievers. So, I mean, you're already 15 games into the season and you can't, you know, you're starting to burn these guys. So you're like, listen, I need to get 2 out of Jeffrey Springs because I can't throw this guy and this guy, because if I keep just throwing these guys, you know, the high leverage guys are the guys I want in this game. I'm going to burn them out with Hembree or Barnes or Workman. And so Workman's a closer. It's different. But still, he had to get Springs out for 2 innings. I don't think he wanted to, but it just goes to speak of how thin this pitching staff is.
Doesn't the 60 games also on the flip side of the coin just really show the warts of the pitching staff and them not being that good? And the other part is, when do you get, we're 3 weeks away from the trade deadline, when do you get to the position to go, okay, we need to be sellers because we need to start planning for the future?
Well, I think they need to be anyways, because it's not about this year. It's mm-hmm. about the future. Listen, as far as trading goes, I mean, everybody should be on the table, except for maybe 4 or 5 guys on the entire roster. But the question I have is, and we'll see when we get closer to it, is like, is the return really worth it? You know, like, is what you're going to get back from a team? If you're another GM, are you going to sit there and say, okay, what are you going to give me? You know, Bradford wrote a couple of articles, you know, like talking about J.D. Martinez and possibly getting the best pitching prospect in baseball from the Miami Marlins. And I'm like, you know, for 1 month of J.D. Martinez, you're going to go and give up your future, like the next 6, 7 years, control of one of the best pitchers in baseball, like a young prospect? But on the flip side, he wrote an article on Moreland and saying how why they shouldn't trade him because he's got a $3 million option. And at first, it's kind of like, oh, really going to protect Mitch Moreland? But it kind of makes sense, because what are you really going to get for Mitch? You're going to get some player to be named later that never gets past AA? You know, so that's the whole thing you got to weigh. It's like, I think all these guys, I'm Bloom, should use this trade deadline. And it would have been better if it was a full season. But to try to acquire some talent, the question is, if you're a GM, how much talent are you really going to give up to rent a guy for 1 month in the postseason? And, oh, by the way, in mid-September, there could be another outbreak or something, and the season could get canceled. You know, and then you're sitting there going, what the hell did we just do?
But
so they should be sellers.
Like, who's a must-keep, in your opinion?
Bogarts, Devers, Erod, you know, Vasquez, and maybe Verdugo. But I say maybe only because, you know, listen, if somebody wants to give me one of the best pitching prospects, I'll make that swap all day long. But Probably that's about it. That's it.
When you look at this schedule and you look just at Major League Baseball in a whole, and you see like a team like the St. Louis Cardinals have only played 5 games, and I know you just made mention that, and I'm looking for baseball because I think if baseball can get through the season, then there's hope for everybody because baseball is probably the most difficult sport to have to be able to play in every day, testing these guys. Do you look at the Cardinals and you think the league goes – it's just too difficult to make up that many games and, you know, maybe removes them from Major League Baseball?
Yeah, you know, I don't think you should remove them. I think you just, when they can play, they can play. Just like the Miami Marlins. We're past that. They're playing good baseball. And if they have to play 48, 50, 52 games, so be it. I mean, we keep talking about the new normal. So if you're looking for competitive balance, you're also probably the guy that sits by the morality clause in the Hall of Fame. And just sort of, who cares? I mean, competitive balance. Who cares? You know, like, okay, so they only play 48, 50 games. Well, there's some weird stuff going on, you know what I mean, out there right now. So that's you tried, you did the best you could, and they could only play 48, maybe 52. But you're playing baseball games. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no reason to say, well, they only played 5 and this team played 18. Pull them out of the league. No. They can play another 35, 40 games. Like, you know, let them play and then just kind of fight through this thing. The tough part, Wiggy, and we were talking about this yesterday, is that, you know, in baseball, the Phillies have missed them games. They're going to play all these doubleheaders to make it up. If you get one game on a Sunday or two games on a Sunday, when do you make it up? You know, you can't play doubleheaders. You know, do you will there be a couple bye weeks give you an opportunity to do it? Mutt was talking about maybe that extra week at the end of the season. I don't know. But you can't do 2 7-inning games, 2 3-quarter football games to make up for a lost game. That one's going to hurt a little bit more than a baseball game being missed.
Speaking of the Cardinals, you, Lou, in your prime, prime, not married.
Yeah.
Would you have risked the coronavirus to fly an Instagram model in for a visit?
Oh, is that what happened?
Yes, the picture. Which is Jake, is it Flaherty there?
Yes.
Yeah, he flew
Wakefield,
in.
Wakefield, I think, was
the name. Yeah, Jack Flaherty flew in an Instagram model. I believe her name is Rachel.
And, super spreader.
Yes.
ASAP super spreader.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if she led to the outbreak or what's going on there in St. Louis, but she they put pictures
slump
together.
Slump buster. Lou, yeah. That was a slump buster.
No, no, that would have put you in a slump. Well, I would say this. Like, I understand it, you know, but I do think that I think when I was young, I would want to kind of go out and do that thing. But I was also just so focused on staying in that league that I was afraid that if I went out to a club like Plesac and Clevenger on the Indians or this kid Flaherty flying that in, they would look at me and they would send me down. They wouldn't just quarantine me. You know what I mean? Like, I would get shipped out and I would get cut and I would get released. You know, for like, you know, putting Pedro Martinez and Omar at risk or Manny, you know, so they would just get rid of me. So, no, I probably would. It would suck, you know, and I would think of it as, okay, in about 2 months, I can fly her in for the entire winter if I want.
Right?
I just got to get through this next month and a half.
You got
FaceTime. Nobody wants him in for the whole winter, Lou. Jesus.
A long weekend.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it's cuffing season, buddy.
But it's FaceTime.
See you later.
It's FaceTime. You have that now. And when Lou played, there was no such thing as FaceTime.
No FaceTime. Yeah, no nothing.
How come you can't pick up right now? Answer my FaceTime. What are you doing?
We didn't have that stuff.
There's no social media, Lou.
Thank God.
No, there was nothing. I got. You know what? I remember getting my first cell phone when I got to the big leagues in '98.
Was it a brick
phone? Just to let you know.
Probably one of them, Motorola's.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Is there any concern? I know you had made mention about it, but is there any concern that you think Major League Baseball would pull the plug on the season? Now, it seems like everything's good.
No, they've gone through. It seems like they've gone through everything that they could have gone through.
I don't think they will. You know, I really don't. And I think, you know, if the Cardinals play 48 games and their winning percentage is better, they'll make the postseason. And I do like this idea, and I'm reading a lot more about it, about the momentum building, about, you know, playing the postseason in a bubble. I think that makes a ton of sense. I think once you start getting into October, and really not for the reasons I've been kind of hearing, I just think, you know, there's no reason for the Yankees to play the Rays and do a 7-game series, play the first 2 in New York, the next 3 in Tampa, and the next 2 in New York, and flying everywhere. We have 8 domes, you know, 8 retractable roofs. That's it. You know, get 8 games in that, and you just play the whole series out there. Nobody travels. You fly into a city. You bunker down for whatever city. But I understand the whole quarantine days. And you got to figure out what cities you do it to. So maybe you try to bubble it the whole thing. I just think bubbling 16 teams will still be difficult to try to find baseball fields and play at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you bubble the postseason, you got a better shot, I think, of finishing a World Series.
All right. Before you go, you're on my S list.
What happened?
Because you do not believe the Bruins advance here.
No.
What is you? Are you like Wiggy? You're concerned with the when it came to this early round here, when the yes. round robin.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the entire mindset. This whole exhibition thing. You know what it does? It sounds like a team that lost three games and just making excuses.
Right.
It sounds like Kyrie Irving last April saying, "Wait till the playoffs. We'll just flip the switch," and they get their ass whooped.
Reach
like
room.
It just it sounds to me like a team. You tell me if they went 3-0. You think you'd be hearing, it's not that important how we play going into this thing.
Right.
Do you really think you'd be hearing that?
Nope.
Of course not.
They'd be talking about, man, look at the momentum they got. The Bruins, they picked it up right where they left
off. They're the best team before the break. They're the best team after the break. They'd be so excited to be able to come back and prove that they can play at a high level and how important it is playing at a high level going into the postseason. But they sucked for three games.
But, Lou,
so this is what you hear.
Watching all the round robin games, none of them felt like the games that actually counted.
Because your team was bad.
Nah, I watched other games, too, that nobody...
Well, Ken, let me ask you. Was there limited ice time for Bergeron?
Nope, he played.
Was the first power play unit together, or were they messing around?
Well, Greg kept Pasta off the ice for 2 weeks of training camp. How do you expect him to look? I mean, geez.
Well, no. I agree, but the whole exhibition feel to it, the power play was 0-9. Last I checked, it was the power play, number one power play unit. You know, last I checked, Bergeron didn't sit in the third period. They didn't pull Marchand out in the third period and treat it like an exhibition, like the NBA teams are doing. They're pulling guys or minute restrictions or whatever. They played all their guys. They played all their minutes. It was the same power play unit. They kept the defensive pairings together, the lines together. Well, not the second, because the second line's a mess anyway. But I'm just saying, they kept everything together, and they just went out and lost.
Yeah, I mean, I think this
is why you hear this.
The Flyers took it serious.
You do have to be concerned about the production from the first line.
Like, okay, I agree with that.
One assist is, I mean, that's nothing. That's disappointing.
It's awful.
And it's your fault.
It's not my fault.
It is your fault.
It's not my fault.
It is your fault. Yes.
All right, Lou. What are you guys doing this afternoon?
Well, we're going to talk sports. We're going to do some things. Actually, Keyshawn Johnson, I believe, is going to join us at 3 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
I think I have that right. If not, I'm just completely making it up. But no, he will join us at 3 o'clock. And,
hopefully you have an answer on college football, at least the Big Ten.
Yeah, that would be nice. And we've obviously got into a lot of that yesterday with Christian and what he thinks they're going to be planning on doing. But he doesn't believe the SEC is not quitting on this thing. So it should be fun.
And then you'll have Fauci on to answer Matt Light.
Of course. Yeah, we should do that. Yeah. We should do that. Play some of Matt Light and piss everybody off again.
All right, Lou.
All right, boys.
Great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again.
There's
Lou Merlone, and he joins us on Tuesdays to talk baseball.
Yeah.
We will be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Wiggy, there's a texter who is wishing the coronavirus on you and Matt Light. It's probably Ken. I got to check that number. It's probably Ken.
Would never do that.
It's his burner number. It's his Google Voice number.
Well, hopefully I'll fall into the 99.9% if I do get it.
Oh.
Well, can you believe that number or not? We better check in with Matt Light.
I just sent that audio to Florio.
Oh,
and
no,
to TMZ.
No, you didn't. No, yeah. you didn't. No. Don't do that to him. God. Don't do that to Matt Light.
Yeah, I know for a fact that the numbers aren't real.
Yep. That is going to be around the world in about an hour.
But it is interesting that in this particular time, you can't really express certain opinions. No. If you
people take what you say and they hear it the way they want to, and mm-hmm. it oftentimes becomes a vastly different message than what you actually said.
Ken's but only right if you're here. On one side, though.
Right.
That only matters if you're on the side of, you know, I'm not sure about these numbers. If you know, but if he would have said, oh, these numbers are 100% accurate. It would no issue.
Okay, he just said that on our air, an intercom powerhouse. There's four against one in this studio. He obviously can say it and has.
No, there's not really four.
You guys
against,
say it over and over
really
every day. Against, yes,
no,
it is.
No, well, Daniel really.
It is now because Ken and I are fighting after that comment.
I mean, you support Greg, Daniel. You do. You stab me in the back every day. It's like
stab you in the back.
Where's
I support
the support,
Greg? How?
What is going on?
Where's the support from
Listen,
Daniel?
If there's
don't
one,
get it.
If there's one thing I have learned in my 15 years in radio, Ken, it's how to keep the peace. Uh-huh. And if that means riding the fence like Glenn, so be it.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Well, no. I mean, I don't think you were very concerned at the outset.
I still am concerned. Yeah. I have a lot of concerns, but I think it's a very tricky way. I don't know how you balance both sides of the equation, being concerned about, you know, people's safety mm-hmm. and health and public health in general versus the absolute economic collapse and devastation for which we're headed. You know, people don't know what's going on with their kids' schooling for the fall. They have no idea what's going to happen with their work, if they can accommodate the work from home / try to teach my kid this curriculum that I don't know what any of it is. Some people are trying to set up pods. Other people are complaining, I can't do that because I don't have enough money. It's just, everything is just exhausting. There's a battle everywhere you look.
Everywhere you look.
And you can't open your mouth and say anything because it turns into headline speak. So it's when you read something on Twitter or on Facebook and you have a news outlet that writes a headline in a certain way and you say, oh, did you see that blah, blah, blah? Yeah, nobody bothered to read the article. And then like two people are like, yeah, but if you read the article, it actually said this. So this is going to happen with Maddie's comments. They'll take a top line thing. Matt Light doesn't wear masks, which is going to turn into Matt Light wants people to die of COVID.
Right.
Matt Light wants your grandmother to die of COVID. Like that's how people are going to spin his opinion when he's just giving you his opinion on what's going on. And that opinion is not necessarily reflective of, you know, everyone else in his family or mm-hmm. anyone else that he's friends with or, you know, people that are involved with his camp or his foundation. But people will be like, oh, Matt Light hates everybody, wants him to die. Well, Doesn't understand it's a public health emergency.
But there were a lot of listeners who felt like it was really irresponsible what he said.
Greg, there are a lot of Americans who over the last 4 to 5 months have made massive sacrifices and changes in their everyday life in the belief that it was making them safe. When people tell them that may have not been necessary, they get angry at you because they don't want to think that they have been doing all these things for nothing. Do you understand?
Yes.
There is a large faction of this country right now that just wants this to be a doomsday scenario because
right.
they have acted like it was a doomsday scenario.
Hmm.
But
they were told to act that way.
Right, but they only they can only say stuff to you because and Ken's one of the big, I think, you know, biggest violators of that because every time
can you leave Ken alone?
No, because I want him to understand because every time
Tree's still on his car.
Every time Curtis brings up the numbers of unemployment, he completely dismisses that. He completely goes to Curtis.
That.
No, you do. You always go, ah, Curtis.
You mentioned that again today.
That's the same thing. But when you say to Ken, like, all right, do you believe the 97,000 children that tested positive for COVID in the last 2 weeks of July? Do you believe those numbers to be accurate? Or we've sat here and we talked with Danielle, who has people with inside information. And even his boy, President Cuomo, said that maybe some of the death toll numbers that we attribute to coronavirus, maybe that's not as accurate. So when somebody says, well, you know, I'm not dismissing all the numbers, but I'm a little skeptical on the actual number. It's instantly, you don't care about life. You're reckless. Like Matt Light, he's Wiggy. Reckless. He doesn't care about life. Why is he even on? Him and I should get coronavirus.
I'm done with your show right. Because somebody expressed an opinion that's different than mine.
He doesn't wear masks in public places. Wiggy said they should be chin checked if somebody goes without a mask into a store. No, did you confront Matt Light about that?
Into a store.
Well, he doesn't wear a mask. Matt Light said he doesn't wear a mask.
I'd say into a store. And I would say, Matt, I understand why you don't wear.
Say that.
No. But he never said in a store. He said he doesn't.
You think Matt Light's wearing a mask in a store?
Yeah.
He said he doesn't wear one.
We already covered it. He doesn't go into stores, Ken.
Ken, I think that most people in this country that walk into a store that sees a million signs on the door before you walk in to put a mask on, I think that 99% of the people, same as the recovery rate, wear a mask, and it's the 1% who walk in there and who are the ones that are like,
Karens.
Yes.
The Matt Lights.
Yeah. The Matts, is that going to be the new?
But those are the people that if they're going to go in there and they're going to make it like the guy on the airplane's not going to wear a mask, so we're all stuck here and sitting on the tarmac because he doesn't want to do it. Yeah, then every now and then that guy needs to be chin checked.
Here's Derek, the Steelers fan.
Not now. Wait a segment, please.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up, Derek?
Ken, I love you, man. I do. I'm not one of these people that I don't wish bad upon you at all, my friend. But I got to tell you, how great was Light? I thought he was awesome. I thought that it's okay, everybody, to have a conversation. It's okay that there's another side. That there's actually your fellow American may disagree with you who's sitting, you know, 6 feet apart from you, wherever you may be, okay? But I think it's funny, you know, Ken, what if, because the new narrative, Hill Dog, if you haven't heard yet, is, you know, America's the laughing stock of the globe, that everyone's looking at us and saying we've done it wrong, we've fumbled, we're moronic, our president's an idiot. What have they done differently?
Some were texting in and saying we're the only developed country in the world where people refuse to wear a mask.
That's not true, but what are they doing differently? That's just, Hillbuck, that's just them pushing me aside.
Have they been to Uruguay? I mean,
But Ken, tell me what they're doing different, bud.
Which country are we talking about?
Italy.
Uruguay.
Give me anybody. You name it. Give me anybody. New Zealand. What have they done different?
I don't live in New Zealand. How do I know?
You used to love South Korea. You were all over South Korea. You read every study out of China for some reason. I'll tell you, we can't shut down 100% like those other countries. Okay? We can't. Because we don't just, like, slide our drug addicts into slums and hide them and pretend they don't exist. We actually have facilities, and we try to help people in this country. And quite frankly, a lot of people in these facilities who are not even American citizens. We take in tons of people, kids, adults, who have been, you know, completely and utterly, you know, disbanded by their own countries. We do that in this country. I don't know if you're aware of that. We have DMH, okay? We take care of our, you know, people with developmental disabilities, okay? We do that.
We go to Sturgis.
Most countries don't. Yeah, well, I get that, Ken. But please, with this whole, we're the laughing stock of the, you know, the world. That's a bunch of crap.
Well, we're not allowed to travel anywhere. Curtis still hasn't been refunded from Lufthansa for going to Greece. They won't let him out of the country.
Ken is alarmed.
They don't care about their economy because they're used to us bailing them out. But so, of course, they can completely shut down and tell everybody to do exactly what they say or they're going to get shot in the back of the head. That's not how we operate here, friend.
Yeah, no.
I'd like to know what they're doing in Italy, because all I heard was Italy at the beginning of coronavirus.
Right.
We don't want to be like Italy. We don't want to be like Italy.
Did you just say he makes good points? That's unbelievable.
I think it's the shades.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, the Italian people are into the shades. They eat a lot of shades.
I think
the nightshades are helping.
No, I don't think so. It causes joint pain.
I think
Tom Brady is able to operate at such a high level, joint pain.
I think the secret sauce might be the nightshades.
Is that what it is?
Greg, we're totally missing the biggest thing from the Matt Light interview. He's clearly part of the scheme to take down Brady.
Obviously.
Well, Ken is concerned about Sturgis because you have 250,000 bikers from all over the country,
right,
riding there and bringing their COVID with them. Now, there's some concern with regard, Ken, to the lead singer of Smash Mouth, who performed at Sturgis.
Okay.
And apparently made a statement that some are saying was also, like Matt Light, was reckless and irresponsible. He said basically F the COVID S. I mean, okay.
Well, I would think maybe that, you know, I mean, everybody at the rally in Sturgis, probably a receptive audience for that comment.
You think so?
Riding out there, yeah. being in a big yeah. crowd, they don't yeah. care.
I saw Smash Mouth at the Home Run Derby at the 99 All-Star Game at Fenway Park. Oh, he was phenomenal.
He was
fun. Isn't he Smash Mouth?
No, Mike Smash Mouth.
Oh, it's a band.
It's Steve Smash Mouth.
The band is called Smash Mouth.
We're all stars.
Did you also see Jethro Tull and think he was great?
I saw Led Zeppelin. He put on some weight.
Which one's pink?
Pink's a woman.
Trump, a lot of tattoos.
Why did you hear that Ken being concerned like he is a Sturgis? Why wasn't he concerned for the protest?
I'll let him answer.
When there
that
was
question?
Hundreds of thousands of people over.
I was concerned.
Oh, you were.
We dodged a bullet on that one.
Well, yeah, I never heard it. When do we get the Sturgis numbers? I'm thinking like
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Right after we get the Wisconsin election numbers. Yeah.
I guarantee you the Sturgis numbers are going to be off the charts with coronavirus.
I love them. I love these people.
There is going to be an entire caseload on this time period in American history where in 50 years... people are going to read about Mayor Walsh and Governor Baker condemning birthday parties and just laugh at it.
Be like heroes.
Absolutely idiotic leadership in a very different time.
Well, don't worry about the mayor. There are some thunderstorms in the forecast for this afternoon, so he's busy shutting all the patios down outside. So,
is the patio enforcement group out?
Yes.
Patio enforcement force?
The patio enforcement group is out. Although Banners opens up tonight, finally.
Oh, that's good.
I'm going to go watch the game there, I think, Curtis.
Wow. Right, you can't sit at a bar, though.
He'll sit at a table adjacent to the bar and then put it all on Instagram.
High top
next to the bar.
Greg, we said you had to order an entree, not 15.
Oh. Can I have the entree sampler, sir? We don't carry that.
Well, hopefully there's a feature with nightshades in it because I want to keep myself corona proof.
And you see that story in the rundown that New York, the restaurants in New York are getting a one over on de Blasio by creating these menus because they have to do a similar thing in New York. You have to order food. Yeah. So they're ordering like $1 grilled cheeses and then they just have that and they're good for the night.
Yeah, there's one place that does like a dollar peanut butter sandwich and they say people love it actually.
Mm. Can I get that grilled?
There was one place that was doing like you could order a bouillon cube.
Stop.
As a food item for like 30 cents.
Very high in sodium.
In order to, but that's what's happening here. Also, is the governor has suggested that the state police would go in, and if you're not serving the proper food with a drink,
the state troopers would, are coming in and, yes, and checking your apps.
Do we know what the proper food is? Does a hot dog count as a meal?
Only if it's served with a side.
I don't know, Wiggy.
Hot dog and French fries or tater tots.
No, those are sides, and those are not considered.
What if I get
meal.
Chili fries?
Tuca, no. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Does not qualify based on New York's rules.
I got a shipment from KM of some Bruins Franks, by the way, Curtis.
Really?
Yes. Ooh. They're the new Cape Cod pizzas. Mm. I have like 15 boxes of KM Bruins themed Franks.
I hope nothing happens to you because that's going to be weird when they clean out the crash pad.
they'll wonder why all of that is there.
We have an unopened smoothie container here.
Like, there's a thing of kale that's melted into the plastic container, two things of Greek yogurt, and an abundance of KM Franks.
Well, what are you putting on the dog, Tim?
You know, it's funny.
Those are for the hot dog sandwiches.
Yes.
I do love a good hot dog sandwich.
I'm not a mustard guy.
I think we got...
Does a sausage count as a sandwich then?
I don't know. Why don't you ask Nick? He'll be in tomorrow. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.